eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need to get Bill on this goddamn couch. I swear, if he does McAfee before he does my show, that would hurt me. Coach, I didn't take all those team-friendly deals for just nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man, Bill Belichick. Yeah!
Damn, why'd you take all the team-friendly deals?
Sorry,
I don't know,
Julian,
what you were doing.
Yeah, shouldn't have taken the team-friendly deals, Julian. You got played by Bill Belichick. By the way, they need to work with – I know he wanted to get all the trophies in the shot, but a lot of headroom in the shot.
It's hard.
A lot of excess headroom in the shot. But it's all filled up with trophies.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Nice little look inside his house there, though. You know, you don't ever really get that.
Can't hide money.
You know, can't hide money
can't hide
is
money.
Right. I don't know where he is. Is he in Nantucket? Whatever, you know. But it's a better shot than, you know, he had that draft in COVID with Nike the dog there. I'll give it that.
I don't know. People really like that. I still see that pop up. People would prefer the dog to the coach. But yesterday, the coach was on with McAfee. And really, I do think, because we haven't written about this yet at PFT, but apparently McAfee and his guys crapped all over the ESPN report. I alluded to that earlier, which made me feel less guilty about crapping on it myself. That's got to create consternation in the building. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? I mean, if I had a report that I published on PFT and you went on Chris Sims Unbuttoned and shit all over it, that would be a problem that would have to be dealt with in the office of Rick Cordella, if not Mark Lazarus, if that happened.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I will say that. There's definitely been some, you know, butting of the heads over there. That's for sure, right? But yeah, you obviously don't pay attention to my podcast because I shit on you all the time. All the time.
Oh, well, I don't. I don't pay attention to it.
And
maybe
really.
That's the thing I should keep doing. Okay, so Belichick opened the vault to a certain extent to share, for really the first time, his views on the way things work. Here he is on this dynamic of leaks that occur prior to the draft.
I'd say the biggest newsmakers here quietly are the agents. Nobody wants their player to get picked higher than them. I've never told an agent, hey, we're going to take your guy in this round. We're going to take your guy with this, you know, with the 27th pick or the 31st pick or whatever pick it is we have. I don't think there's too many teams that do that. But as you get closer to draft day, sometimes teams get closer to figuring out what they're going to do. There is information that can leak out of the organizations in one way or another that can give you some insight into what they're going to do. I think it's a little early for that, but when you get into the last, you know, I'd say 12 or less hours before the draft, sometimes that information can be very, very accurate and helpful.
Now, that information never came from the Patriots, Chris, as you learned while working there. They don't tell anybody what's going on. When Nick Saban was the coach in Miami and they had the second pick in 2005, They actually told the people in the building they were taking Braylon Edwards, the receiver from Michigan, and took Ronnie Brown, the running back from Auburn, instead. There'll actually be, in some organizations, misinformation that is shared because it does get out. And the agents need to find out primarily so they can set the expectations of their clients.
Yeah, right.
You need to tell your client when the window opens and when the window closes. And the most important thing to tell your client is the floor. I guarantee you, you're going to be drafted by this spot. And that's part of the challenge of the final week of the draft. The agents trying to find out what the floor is for their clients, and then reporters trying to find out from the agents what those floors are. And I'm starting to get a little bit of that as we're a week away from the draft. Some stuff that we'll be talking about in the coming week that is informed by my conversations with the people whose job it is to know where guys are going to be picked. Sure. We're getting closer and closer to people finding that out.
Yeah, well, we talk about this from time to time, but the agents are so much more powerful in the NFL broader structure than the public realizes. They're manipulating things constantly. How coaches are hired, what coaches are hired, how GMs are hired, what player goes here, what player goes there. Wait, I don't want this player to go there because I got a player there making this kind of money. And if they sign this guy, they'll cut this guy. And now I won't get both of those paychecks. Wait, so I don't want to put him there. I'm going to try to finagle it to put him on another team so I can keep both of those checks coming. Way more power than people realize when it comes to that stuff. And like, yeah, in New England, that wasn't going down. I mean, New England, I was like this, Mike, right? I'm at my desk, I'm blah, 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 work. I got a little cubicle right here. The draft room was right over my right shoulder, right? So it was always, locked to the point where, like, when Bill would come up there, right, he'd, like, look around, like, let me see, and he'd, like, wiggle his key, like, and, you know, I swear somebody came to the door a few times, was like, New England clam chowder, the white or the red, right? I mean, it was like you couldn't go in there and look or do anything. There was only three people allowed in that room where the big board was. So not only was it locked and he'd look around and unlock it, right? Then you'd go in there and you'd go, oh, I can't wait to see the big board. You couldn't even see the big board. There was a metal garage door that went down and had a lock on that too. So you had to have now, let me turn that key into the wall so I can now turn and put the garage door up over the big board. Right? So that's how secretive they were there, and that's how secretive some teams can be. But, of course, they were the masters of that.
Who were the three people that were allowed in?
The Crafts, Nick Caserio. I feel like those were the only three that had, like, you know, that had keys. And then, you know, maybe Nick Caserio might bring up Monty Ossenfort in with him at times, but I don't think Monty had a key, right? You know, John Robinson might have had a key at that time as well, right? The old GM of the Tennessee Titans. But it was a very limited, limited group, that's for sure.
It is a process that really does differ from team to team.
Yeah.
And some are far more secretive than others. But I don't disagree with the notion that the agents have that information because they need to have it, because they need to tell their client.
They need to tell it. They want to boost it.
You can't tell your client.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what we've said it about. Lamar Jackson, he wouldn't have been picked number 32 in the draft if he had an agent fighting for him against the Bill Polians of the world when they were saying he should play a different position. If you have a top agent, you end up higher. And maybe it worked out perfectly for Lamar Jackson to go to Baltimore with pick number 32, and he's got his big contract now. But if the goal is to get drafted as high as possible when you're on your way in, having an agent who can press all the buttons, and I've seen it. I mean, Gary Richard died the day the lockout began in 2011. And he's a guy I'd gotten to know in the early days of PFT. He was relentless when it came to pushing his guys. He had Pac-Man Jones in 2005. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of other high-end defensive backs. Antrell Roll, who entered, it wasn't quite sure whether he was a corner or a safety.
Yep, right.
There was another one in the top 10 that year. And Gary Richard was relentless in pushing Pac-Man and pushing Pac-Man. But despite all the concerns, and the concerns were there from Morgantown, I knew people in scouting at the time were like, man, some of this stuff we're finding out. But still, he got him taken like fifth overall
I think it
before
was,
any of the other guys.
Right.
And it's just, it becomes like a life force. It just overwhelms you. We've seen it. We've seen people like that. The strength of the personality overwhelms you. And at the end of the day, you're dealing with human beings here, and there's a lot of subjectivity in the process. And if you have an agent who is committed to fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, you're going to be successful if that's the agent representing you.
Yeah, I think that's very true, right? You know, the agents they're a big part of this. They really are. They got a lot of power and control throughout the league. And yeah, I mean, again, they got a lot of things they're trying to balance and worry. And I respect that and all of that. But yeah, they're framing a lot of conversations this time of the year. It is for knowledge of themselves, to boost up themselves, whatever else. I mean, they're manipulating who goes on what media show or whatever, because this guy will talk good about my guy. This guy didn't. I'll never let him on that show again.
I'm not aware of anybody doing that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but they're way more powerful than I think people realize. Right.
By the way, you mentioned the steps to which Bill Belichick went in New England to protect his draft board. Yeah. Then you have his potential next boss.
Here's
maybe their first meeting. Here it is. Here it is. Now, that should not be confused with the pad of paper on which he had a bunch of doodles and squiggles at the combine. That at least was something that I think people like zoomed in and gleaned actual information
they did
from the draft board.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons why Jason Garrett, our NBC colleague, thinks there's no way that Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick could ever work together. That is a prime example. That is it. One of the things I think Jason would point to. Look at how secretive Bill Belichick is, and here's Jerry showing the draft board to the whole world.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right.
There's more draft board.
There it is again. That looks like a while ago. That's 14 years ago. Okay, so we mentioned recently. I don't know if this was on the show or if I wrote this. I think maybe a little both. Maybe it was the day you weren't on the show. I can't keep it straight anymore. Frankly, it's still news to me that we were in Las Vegas for a week and a half. But. I've said that every team should offer Bill Belichick a big pile of money to come in and tell them what to do with the new kickoff formation. What to do? Well, apparently he's given it away for free instead. Here he is from yesterday talking about just basic strategy for this revolutionary kickoff that the NFL is going to use in 2024.
And I would say with the new kickoff rules, because there's really no running involved, the kicking team's already down there, the return team's already set up, that there'll be more of an emphasis on size players in the return game than speed, where, you know, a lot of teams would cover with, you know, 6 or 7 DB wide receiver types, you know, with their kickoff unit, and play with the same type of players on the kickoff return, play with a couple corners, a couple wide receivers on the front line that could run and get back and set up. Well, now, there's no need for that. You just need guys who can play at the point of attack, shed blocks, and defend their space because of the new alignments.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Interesting thought. And again, Bill, don't give it away for free. That is valuable insight that I think teams would pay for. Not that he needs the money, but what did Heath Ledger as the Joker say in The Dark Knight? If you're good at something, don't give it away for free. I wouldn't be sharing those secrets with the world. But if he's going to be in the media, he's going to get asked questions. And he can't say, well, I can't talk about that publicly. I have a consulting deal with 5 different teams on how to get the most out of the new kick formation. But this is the 1 year. He's been in the NFL for 24 years. They make this revolutionary change to the kickoff. This is right in his wheelhouse. And he's not here to...
Yeah,
to show us how it's done.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, you know, and again, I think that thought is probably already out there with special teams coaches. I'm sure he's had conversations with Joe Judge already, dissecting that a little bit. And how do you look at this? What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the way Bill is. He is who he is because he's an incredible thinker, right? He is always willing to think, you know, and tinker and figure out a new way, better way, what's the most efficient and detailed way and all that. And yeah, it is interesting there. You know, again, you think about like what it's going to be. Yeah, maybe we're going to see more offensive lineman type on the kick return team. Right. Hey, you block this guy pull around. We're going to try to expose this hole right here. And then therefore, yeah, you want more maybe middle linebacker defense end types that are like, wait, I know how to hold my ground against that block and keep this arm free for tackling the returner through this hole. So there's certainly an unintended consequence or something that I didn't think about, you know, totally at this point of being maybe a bigger group of people on the field, which also could lead to the intrigue of, wait, they're bigger, but now it's slower and they're having to tackle Tyreek Hill and it's one wrong step and it's see you later, yes. I'm out of here.
That's
now nobody on the field
saying.
Is fast enough, right? So that's where you're going to have to find that blend of size and speed on the field at the same time here.
Yeah, if you're going to use offensive linemen, you got to have guards and centers. You got to have nimble guys who are used to pulling and getting out in
exactly,
space because
right.
they got to fill up that gap. There's a 5 to 10 yard gap between where the 10 players are from the kickoff team and the 9 players are from the return team. Or they can have up to 10 if they only put one in the landing zone. You're not close quarters. You're not phone booth. You have to go meet the guy. You have to get to the point, and you have to get to the ball carrier. So, I don't know. I think there's going to be some experimentation, and there's going to be some good, and there's going to be some bad. And
right.
I think it makes preseason this year more relevant than usual.
I would agree. Yeah.
Because we're going to work out a lot of the kinks, and teams are going to try out different things to see what works and what doesn't. It makes practices to the extent that any of them are, you know, and some are available and some aren't. But all these iterations in advance of week one are going to be critical. All right, let's take a break. When we return, we had some things to say yesterday about the Commander's strategy for bringing in 4 top quarterbacks at once. The agent for the guy that we believe is the best of those 4 had something to say. We're going to try to figure out what it means. And there's also a development to add to that that has emerged just this morning. We'll discuss all that next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
So yesterday, Chris and I had some things to say about the decision of the Commanders to bring in 4 top quarterback prospects all at the same time. Chris and I both agreed it made no sense. It makes no sense. Bring them in one at a time and give them a chance to get to know you and give you a chance to get to know them fully and completely. Why are you doing it together? Someone tweeted our clip saying that I bashed the Commanders for doing it this way. Why would you dilute your ability to get the maximum time and just the opportunity to evaluate? You're trying to evaluate 4 guys at once. Retweeted by Ron Butler, who represents Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels. Now, the emoji. I had another agent send me this and say, hey, this guy's taking a shot at you. Now, this agent, I think, is trying to stir up some trouble. Because I said, that's not a taking a shot emoji.
That's what they're saying is interesting, and that is weird emoji. That's how I took it when I saw it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
There are plenty of other emojis that make the point far more directly if what they think we're saying is caca.
The Jersey State bird.
The one that literally is a caca. So yeah, this guy's onto something. And it, look, we're so conditioned, honor and a privilege. We're so conditioned to think that this is about all the power that the team has to evaluate the players, and they can do these stupid ass games like, let's put the four guys together. Well, let's see how they interact in the room together, even though they're never going to be in a room together again, anywhere, anytime, any place. Let's see how they interact like lab rats. What about for the player? Like, okay, I'm going to get drafted by one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL over the last quarter century. They've got new management. Why should I want to play here? Well, show me something that makes me want to be part of this team for the next 5, 10, or 15 years. Sell me on you. That's see, and because you never have to convince the guy to say yes to you, you start doing all this weird shit that is all flowing from the fact that we have the power to decide who goes where. Yeah, and right. It's a mistake.
Yeah.
And also, just this morning, Ron Butler, the agent, tells NFL media, today's the day that there's a private workout in Baton Rouge for Jaden Daniels with the Minnesota Vikings. And I've been saying for weeks, if I'm one of these guys, where do I want to go? I want to go play for Kevin O'Connell, who is definitely going to get me to my ceiling, whatever my ceiling is. Am I going to get to my ceiling with Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn? I don't know. Am I getting to my ceiling with Kevin O'Connell? Yes, I am, because I saw Nick Mullins at his ceiling with Kevin O'Connell. I saw Josh Dobbs at his ceiling with Kevin O'Connell. And I saw Kirk Cousins at his ceiling with Kevin O'Connell.
Well, I mean, listen, the basic move of having them all in at the same time would certainly make one think, like, maybe something's going to be available to go up there to number two, because they're looking at the other guys to go, well, yes, maybe we'll be a little farther down. Which one do we want, right? I mean, that would be the basic, I think, common sense thought.
Well, you
here.
Still bring him in separately. It's a big enough position. It's a big enough move. I think it was what we said yesterday. Josh Harris, that's the date. That's the Mr. Harris is available right on the 17th of April. That is the day that the four quarterbacks right will be in the building.
Right. I don't disagree with your thought there. I don't know. I even said to a few people off air yesterday, Forio said this today, and I don't think he's crazy. I think there might be some truth to that, really, right? Other, like, the big picture here, right, and this, the way it's handled and done, one, right, like, if you are going to take Jaden Daniels, you're starting off a little bit on, like, a disrespectful, weird note, right? That would be the first thing I would say, right? I know Bill Belichick made comments yesterday about they'd had group of guys come in, you know, in New England. Yeah, that goes on, certainly, right? But it doesn't go on usually with the top picks in the draft, and it certainly doesn't go on with the quarterback, where there's a way more intimate relationship and you're giving the keys to the organization. That does not go on. This is being talked about and reported. Why? Because it doesn't go on. This is weird, right? It is weird. This is, you want to do your due diligence on that one person, and you want everybody to be able to digest that person and let them be themselves. So, you know, you can get a true feel for them. Now there's four other competitors in the room, and we're asking this guy a question and splitting you up and doing this and doing that. I think it's hard to get a real picture of what those guys really are that way, and I don't think you're doing your due diligence by letting your whole staff really dive in on one guy, right? It might be one thing to, hey, we're at the end of the first round and we need a D tackle, and there could be three D tackles on the board that are first rounders at that point. We have them in at the same day. Okay, it's a defensive tackle. It's not the same gymnastics that go into learning a quarterback. What is all he know? What does he, how can he teach me the offense? How quickly can he learn it? We're going to go out and going to teach him something and then go out and have a walkthrough and see how much he retained, right? The defensive tackle just goes around and they go, hey, go meet the DB coach. And he's like, hey, DB coach. And then they go, hey, go meet the linebacker coach. And he goes, hey, linebacker coach. And then he has a little meeting with a D tackle. The quarterback is, we're having a meeting with the owner. We're having a meeting with the GM. We might all sit in that meeting with that quarterback and the head coach and the offensive coordinator. And, hey, how did you do this? Explain to me this. Hey, we want to pick up this film and do all that. Having them all in at one time does not give you the ability to dissect that player to the same capacity. And that's why it's weird. And all those people pushing back at us, hating on them. No, it's weird. This does not go on a normal basis at the top of the draft with the top quarterbacks in the draft.
And I've been asked by many people, do you believe it's a given that Jaden Daniels will be the second overall pick in the draft by the Commanders? And I don't think it is.
No.
Whether it's they trade out, or whether it's they talk themselves into Drake May or someone else.
Right.
And this is what happens when the owner is in the vicinity of the scale, close enough that he just reaches his finger toward one of the options. And we talk about this all the time. The owner doesn't have to say, draft this person. It can be a question. It can be a statement. It can be something that seems innocuous. But the people who work for the person who owns the team are constantly looking for those cues because they want to prove they're smart enough. They want to prove they get it. And the owner is making his opinion known, and we need to act accordingly. So if Josh Harris comes out of yesterday, assuming he met with those guys, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix. If Josh Harris has a favorite, just like David Tepper had a favorite last year in Bryce Young, doesn't matter, Chris, that you're convinced they should run to the podium with Jaden Daniels. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. All that matters is what the guy who holds the majority position in the team thinks. Even if he'll never say, this is what I wanted, because that's why you have all these other buffers. Then you don't look like a meddler, even though you're meddling. Look at all the stuff about Michael Bidwell that we talked about yesterday. Yeah. The Mike Caspino characterization of his testimony where he made it clear that he runs the team. They don't want to be seen as running the team. They want someone else who takes that criticism, but they still want to be able to stir the pot. This is the most important pick the Commanders organization has made, at least since RG3, but we knew they were taking RG3 when they moved up. There was no uncertainty there. I go all the way back to Heath Shuler in 1994. I don't know. I can't remember what their options were at quarterback, who they took, who they could have taken instead of Heath Shuler at quarterback in 1994. But this is a big deal. This is a franchise-altering move. This is your centerpiece, face of the franchise guy. Bringing them all in at the same time only makes sense if the owner only had one day to do it, and this is the day we're going to do it. And he didn't break out. I wasn't willing to break out four separate days to meet with each guy individually when he came to visit the facility. I got one day, and that's my only explanation for it. And I've talked to other people about it as well. Like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
They're never going to admit it.
They're never going to admit it. But that's the only logical explanation.
I hear you there. It's definitely where I would lean with that as well. It is weird. It is a huge pick, like you said. It's the first draft of this regime, right? By all due accounts, they got the third pick at coach that they wanted, right? Now it's the quarterback situation. We're going to see where that goes. Yeah, the spotlight's on them. It is. And it's odd to do it that way. And the only other explanation I could come with is like, is this some Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll, let's see them be together and who's going to compete and do all that, which, you know, I don't know if I totally believe in too. You know, again, I was there for pre-draft visits with Bill Belichick. I don't remember us having a higher pick or one of our big picks and going, hey, we're going to bring in 10 guys with them that day. That didn't happen. We might have brought in, hey, top guy we might want to take, and then there might have been a receiver in the building and somebody else in the building on that day so the other coaches can meet with those guys. But it wasn't that way. This is rare. It's rare. And it is odd. And I'm definitely perked up a little bit because I think what you said, right? Washington, them taking Jaden Daniels, I think if they stay at 2, that would still be my bet. But, you know, is it set in stone? Do I believe they're definitely going to stay at 2 with this type of thing right here, this close to the draft? I'm not sold on that right now.
I just want to make sure there is a camera on you live when the second pick is announced, because if it is Drake May, I want to see your head explode. Well, at a minimum, your ears bleed.
It would be very similar to what happened when the 49ers took Trey Lance, right? And oddly enough, Adam Peters was there too. I'm going to go, damn, they're going to take a quarterback that I don't know if he can throw very good. That's not good. I mean, with the second pick in the draft. And so, yeah, we'll see where that goes.
It's funny because yesterday I tweeted a story critiquing fairly, I think, the Commanders for this weird thing of bringing in the four top quarterbacks, or at least the four top quarterbacks other than Caleb Williams. I mean, obviously, they're not going to be in the mix for him. And somebody responded by saying, well, you know, Adam Peters knows a little bit more than you do about quarterbacks. And somebody responded to that saying, he's the guy who took Trey Lance. So I didn't feel the need to chime in. I think that said it all. Okay, let's take a break. More PFT Live right after this. The Los Angeles Chargers trying to build a competitive team with a very competitive coach now there. The latest move, not a receiver, although they clearly need receivers. We talked about that recently. They hardly have enough on their depth chart to fill out all the boxes. They have as many receivers as tight ends right now. They've added running back J.K. Dobbins. This is the second running back that Jim Harbaugh has signed from John Harbaugh's Ravens.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards signed recently, and now J.K. Dobbins, who tore his Achilles last year. Contract year wiped out by that injury. He was rehabbing with Aaron Rodgers at one point. And Dobbins, a guy who has been, there's a knee question with him.
Yeah.
And he had knee injuries in the past. But man, when he plays, he's got like a ridiculously high yards per carry. But a lost season last year. He had the torn ACL, I think, in his second year. And now he's getting his chance to turn things around, working for John's brother Jim in LA with the Chargers.
Yeah, he's had a tough go, J.K. Dobbins. You know, hopefully he can get back healthy and get back, you know, close to what he was before these injuries. Because before the injuries, he was, you know, on pace to be damn good, one of the better running backs in football, right? A guy that, you know, you go, well, hey, he can score from anywhere. You give him a hole, he's got the speed to go 70 to the house. And I'm not shocked, right? I mean, hey, it's the NFL. It's about hiring people you trust, you're comfortable with, right? You should put up that list again, guys, if you don't mind. I mean, not only is it those two guys, right? Hayden Hurst was in Baltimore. They know him a little bit, right? The GM at least does. Bradley Bozeman, the offensive lineman they said, he once was in, you know, Baltimore as well. So, you know, again, these are guys that I think help the culture. They know they can trust the person and what they are, let alone they fit a mold of Harbaugh type football, which we know is going to be Baltimore Ravenish at its core anyways.
Hayden Hurst is the tight end that was taken middle of round one 2018 when ownership was saying take Lamar Jackson, and they
read the board right patient. And they were like, hey, wait, he'll be there,
and they came back in and got him. Gets back to what we were talking about earlier: when you don't have an agent, you can slide down the board, and that was to the advantage of the Baltimore Ravens. So look, I know they really want to have a running game to complement Justin Herbert. If you can get an attack that forces extra attention up toward the line of scrimmage, that makes it easier for Justin Herbert to throw. At some point, though, as we discussed when we went over the Chargers' draft needs, they need receivers. And presumably, the draft is where they're going to get their receivers, starting with that fifth overall pick, unless they trade down. You know, yesterday, we wrote something about Drake May and where his betting odds are. You can't bet, as of yesterday, on which team he lands with. They took that off the board, but you can bet on the spot. He's the overwhelming favorite to be the fifth pick, which would mean the Chargers, Chris, would trade down to someone who comes up to get Drake May. And I assume that if May is there after pick four, that fifth pick, the trade down, trade up, presumably would be the Vikings. Presumably Jim Harbaugh can set aside the fact that the Vikings didn't hire him 2 years ago, because if it's going to bother anybody, it's going to bother him. If anybody holds grudges, it's him. But that minus 2,000 Drake May to be the fifth pick, there's no way he's going to be the Chargers pick, so they would trade down and then address their receiver needs after that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that. You know, again, I think you and I both look at it, and we said this early on in the process. I don't know if I look at the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh as being a guy of, oh, I want this one guy, right? And that'll change my team as far as, you know, I think he looks at it a little more big picture. I don't look at him going, oh, I need a receiver. I need that guy, that receiver. That's not how I look at it. I feel like if he stays at five, it'd be an offensive lineman or something that, you know, is more towards his core values of what he believes. But, you know, yeah, I think ultimately I'm kind of like there with what you're saying. I can understand them trading down, right? They got holes on their football team. They need depth. There's certainly positions that need to be addressed, and you got some other places where, hey, they're pretty good at this position, but guys are getting up there in age, and you're like, hey, we're paying them a lot of money. They're getting up there in age. We got to start thinking about the future. So there's a lot to be done there. I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see them trade out.
Quick break. Thursday edition of PFT Live continues right after this. I've made you better. I mean, you've been ripping off all these great words lately, thanks to my influence, and you're dragging me down. So,
Florisms. Bad lucky.
Have I just been bad luck-y? Have I been unlucky? I was trying to figure out.
I like that, though. That was bad luck E.
Have I been bad lucky?
Don't forget unlucky. God. Let's go bad lucky. That's a Florioism. Welcome to the club, slugger.
Florism.
You know, I was making a great point. I was trying to land the plane, and I just was caught. I was trapped, and I had to surrender to bad lucky.
Yes.
I had bad lucky
yes.
in trying to formulate my words that day. It was fun. It was fun.
Good.
Fair game. Yeah. After 7 years,
yeah.
after 7 years, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Bad lucky. Okay. So speaking of having your words used again, things you said in the past.
Yeah.
This was just kind of weird to me. Here's Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
we have a mashup of two different things he said. Here he is on the, I can't remember the name of the podcast.
Damn, you're old.
But there was a podcast, I know, there was something about Las Vegas. There was a podcast last month in which he spoke about his son, Shador, quarterback, Colorado, and cornerback receiver, Travis Hunter, and their NFL destinations. And then followed by that will be him being asked about it yesterday. Here are the two clips.
All this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be an Eli.
Everybody's saying, right? You're only letting Shador and Travis go to six teams. Is this true? Can we get some insight?
Okay. Who said that? And did you see me say that?
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you because you know I don't know who's saying
this. One thing about a lie is so fast, it can outrun the truth any day. That's a bold-faced lie. That's a stupid lie. I have more than six owners that are friends. I have more than six GMs that are friends. You got to understand, I played 14. And I worked another 17, I believe, in the NFL, NFL Network, and so CBS. I know a lot of people. Come on. So I would never do that. Before I would disclose, if I was that stupid, I wouldn't disclose the teams I would want them to play for. I would disclose the several that I wouldn't. Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupidity. I would never do that.
Okay, look. Regardless of whether he said which teams they can't, he said, I know where I want them to go. And there are certain cities where it's not going to happen. It's going to be in Eli. So there's no reason to get caught up in the number. The point is, it's been 20 years. Since Eli Manning did what he did. Before that, it was 21 years when John Elway did what he did. This is coming. And I don't know whether, Deion is being more careful now or whatever, but I've been rooting for this power play for years, and he's in the perfect position to be the one who's out front for Shador and Travis Hunter. He's the one that can take all the heat, and he can explain it. And, Chris, as I said last month when this all first came up, it's smart to do it now. Because if the teams that are on the do not go there list are aware of it, they'll just kind of naturally scout in a way where they don't end up getting into this fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That they maybe don't want to pick.
Yeah, don't want to pick, don't want to be embarrassed, don't want to look bad, don't want to make it look like, wait, but a legend like Deion Sanders doesn't want his kid to come here and play in our organization? People are going to start to question our organization if we flirt with them too much, and then they have to say that publicly. So, yeah. Yeah, I think, it kind of had taken its like to where not only were you hearing this, but you were starting to hear people report teams that he would play for. I think that's probably what he was referring to. And I do think I saw a few articles written about it where they were insinuating the teams that Deion was alluding to that he'd want his kids or the DB to play for a little bit, right? So maybe that's where he got a little annoyed by it, whatever else. But he's also probably, you know, doesn't want to disrespect anybody and has got some relationships with people, like you said, that, you know, he's certainly not trying to be disregard them or be mean in any way to that those people.
But when he says both, I know where I want them to go, and there are going to be certain cities that aren't it. When you say I know where I want them to go,
yeah, you would think it's a shorter list.
It implies it's not 25 teams.
Yeah,
it implies there is a short list. I know where I want them to go. I know where I don't want them to go. He said both, and my point is, do it. Be the trailblazer that makes it easier for other players who are in the top of the draft to push back against this idea that you're going to be told, here's where you're working, here's where you're working for, here's who you're working with, here's where you're living. You have no say in the matter whatsoever. We have your rights for 4 years with a fifth-year option and two franchise tags if we want to do it. Then there's nothing you can do about it. There is something you can do about it because you back it up by saying, I'm just not going to play for you. That's the key. It's not just, I don't want to play for you. It is, you have drafted me and I won't play for you because I got $20 million in the bank and I don't have to worry about whether or not I sit out a full season of football. All right, we need to take a break. For PFT Live, right after this.
It does feel a little weird. Kelsey's gone, and they moved my locker over into his, so obviously that's a little weird. And so, like, I went to the wrong locker a couple times, and I'm like, oh, man, this isn't mine anymore. You know, I'm not trying to be somebody's replacement or somebody's next person. Like, I'm just trying to be myself. People like to compare, and then it's just, you know, you just put different things on your shoulders that you need to carry, and really it's like, what can I do today? What can I do to learn? What can I do to get better? And how can I be the best football player I can be, and not how can I be what he was, you know? What are we going to do tomorrow? So that's how I got to look at it.
Cam Jurgens on replacing Jason Kelsey, the longtime center of the Philadelphia Eagles. That leads to today's draft, Christopher. The biggest shoes to fill in 2024. Very open-ended. Any direction you want to go, off we go.
I don't want to be like, I want to pick him. I honestly, like, are we allowed to do that? Are we going to be
okay?
It's
not the Cam Jurgens Memorial Draft. It's
all right,
fine.
Then, yeah, I definitely would pick him, right? I mean, come on. Jason Kelsey's become one of the most watched, sought after, let me evaluate, let me watch him offensive lineman we've seen in recent history, where people were actually like watching games going, let me watch Jason Kelsey for a minute. I've never actually watched a center. Oh, he's kind of good. I mean, so yeah, people are going to watch that. I mean, he's been a Pro Bowl caliber, all-pro type of center. It's that team. They're about the run game. It's about the tush push, which he was so big with. So everybody's going to be looking at Cam Jurgens, certainly. Cam Jurgens, I expect to be really good because he is really good already. And I don't think that Eagles offensive line is really going to fall off one bit. That would be my assessment. But either way, I think there's going to be people watching him closely early on in the year.
You know, my first one is going to be whoever replaces Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Is it Khalil Shakir? Is it somebody else? And even though the production from Diggs last year isn't so much that it's going to be dramatically difficult to replace, you still have to. He's your number one receiver. Whatever happened last year happened. He's your number one guy. He's gone. Somebody's got to step up. And Gabe Davis is gone. The top two guys going into last year are gone. Four of the five receivers from last year are gone. So maybe it's even broader than Diggs. It's the entire depth chart needs to be replaced.
I think it's a little bit of that, right? It's hard to say it's one guy there. It's like all the receivers and the offensive coordinator that, you know, all the pressure kind of shifts to in that conversation to a degree, right, as far as filling the shoes of Diggs. So, yeah, there's pressure on that situation, no doubt about it. I think the other one that pops to me is the Tennessee Titans running back situation, right? Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, whatever one you want to talk there, right? Pollard will be the starter. Spears is going to get a lot of carries. He's good, right? But, yeah, it's Derrick Henry. It's kind of like feels like it's been written in stone for the last 10 years. Oh, yeah, Tennessee Titans going to be a good running team. They got Derrick Henry. If he stays healthy, he's going to be at the top of the, you know, rushing yards per for the season. So I feel like that one's big shoes to fill. Now, they got Bill the Callahans there, which we know are run game masters. So that'll certainly help that out. But I think we'll all be watching that position down there in Tennessee.
Well, you know where I got to go with this one. Baru. Whoever plays quarterback in Minnesota, I mean, Kirk Cousins, they're lucky he got injured with half the season left because the short-term memory is Nick Mullins handing the ball to the Bengals. And, you know, it's not Kirk Cousins right. leading the Vikings
right.
deep into the playoffs. So there's a buffer. But still, the last we saw of Cousins before he tore the Achilles tendon was that spectacular Monday night game. That's the standard that Sam Darnold or whoever they draft is going to have to live up to. Let's go ahead and take a break. One more round when PFT Live concludes right after this. Sometimes we have more fun during the breaks than we actually do during the program. There are the picks so far. Christopher, you're up with round three.
All right, I'm going with one out of left field right here, right? This might, you know, escape people a little bit, but I think there's some shoes to fill here. And yeah, I'm going with Deshaun Watson. Gotta fill the shoes of Joe Flacco.
Wow.
And I mean that in the, like, again, it's, hey, you're making all this money. It's guaranteed contract. We haven't got anything. Joe came here and brought us to the playoffs, right? I think there's going to be a lot of that going on this year. If things are a little shaky early on in the year, people are going to be like, wait, hold on, Joe, we did this with Joe. We did that with Joe, brought us to the playoffs. Joe did this at the end of the season. It was awesome, blah, blah, blah. Watson, wait, we're paying you all this. What's going on? I think there's pressure on that situation there and because of that contract and what's been done so far.
I saw last month on social media after Joe Flacco signed with the Colts a picture of an autograph signing event
in Cleveland
with Flacco, and people were everywhere.
Exactly.
They, you know, you hit this nail squarely on the head. They couldn't have brought him back because it would have been Flacco, Flacco, Flacco. The first instant Deshaun Watson throws an incomplete pass, Flacco, Flacco. All right, I got to pick. Saquon Barkley, currently his shoes will be filled by Devin Singletary. I don't know that that's nearly enough. This guy has been one of the best running backs in football, caught on a bad team his whole career.
Right.
That is a huge void for a Giants team that I think really needs to turn something around, or there could be a house cleaning after this season.
Yeah, they're definitely in a spot here. It's a big year. There's no doubt about that, right? It's got to start all coming together, and we got to see something that we go, wait, it's tangible, it's real. We can be consistent and good. We'll see if the G-men can get there.
All right, enjoy your Thursday, 1 week to the draft. Chris, enjoy 420.
You know it, I
see
will.
You Monday.
Smoke them if you got them, and I got them, baby.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.